If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And if you could all rise for the reading of God's word, if you are able. Luke chapter 10, 30 to 37. And then we're going to jump to Matthew 25 and read one verse in 35. And after I read it, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord. And if you could all respond by saying, thanks be to God, and you could have your seat. Luke chapter 10, 30 to 37. This is God's word to us this morning. Give your full attention to it. Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, and pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Matthew 25, 35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. You may be seated. I want to invite our guest speaker today. And again, this is Missions Month. For the whole month, we'll be inviting, one of the things that the pandemic has, a lot of bad things, right? But one of the, I think, a blessing has sort of, missionaries can go, to their location of ministry and overseas, and they're sort of, in this area, some of them, and so we had missionaries who are close that we could invite them and do this Missions Month today. The director of World Relief Rochester will be giving us God's word to us this morning. So please welcome Ken Pitcher to up here in the front to give us God's word. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Like Pastor Young said, my name is Ken. I am the director of World Relief here in Rochester. I wanted to just start off by saying thank you to, there's just been so many of you and who have been a part of what we're doing, a lot of volunteers. I see Ada here and even Daniel, and there's several other of you who have been through our office, helped us with the resettlement of some refugees that have come recently. And also, I just want to thank you for your generosity. The Rochester Chinese Christian Church is a great partner for us. I just wanted to real quick give you a little update. I know that many of you have been involved with the resettlement of some folks from Afghanistan here recently. When we began to receive folks from Afghanistan, it was a little bit early for us. We just have been in office of World Relief since July. Before then, we were a small nonprofit called Refuge Rochester that many of you were also involved with. But these Afghans that are coming, the first refugees that we've actually been responsible to resettle. So what World Relief has decided is that we're going to take about a 2-month pause. We will be receiving more folks who have been displaced, but we're going to begin that in May. For the month of March and April, we're going to go through the training that we were never able to do. The Afghan crisis wasn't part of the plan for the start of this office, but that's just what God had for us. So we're going to get a little more training. There's a few other folks that are coming on to our team as both part-time and full-time employees, and we will be you'll be hearing more about folks coming from various parts of the world, like Syria, the Congo, Ukraine, but that won't be beginning. That we'll be continuing that in May. And we're still going to be involved with the Afghans that are here that several of you folks from Rochester Chinese Christian have come to know. So today, I was asked to come and talk about during your missions week. And Pastor Young asked, like, what would be a title? And I want to talk about how we encounter Jesus in mission. As God calls us to both either foreign missions or being on the mission of God here in our local context, how do we encounter Jesus today? I began to think about this a couple of years ago when I realized that the whole issue of refugees and immigration had become just such a divisive issue in our culture. And I even heard it among Christians. I felt like that there was people saying kind of no to people that God was bringing to our country. And I began to feel like, I wonder if we're missing something that God's doing. I wonder if he's doing something. And as we try to maybe protect ourselves or live a certain way, we're missing a way to encounter God. Okay, so it was part of the reason why, part of what God used to push me into the work of working among refugees and immigrants. And one of the passages that we've often talked about in different kind of conversations about refugees is this passage here of the parable of the Good Samaritan. So I wanted to spend some time there looking at this here. And I want us to look, first of all, at the context of it. We read from verse 30, but I want to go back a little bit to verse 25. And so we see what kind of question was asked here. Behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test. This is Jesus saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So somebody's asking, how do I become a part of the kingdom? How do I become a part of God's family? How do I become a Christian, more or less? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But desiring to justify himself, he said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Okay. So a lawyer in this context, he's also known as a teacher of the law, somebody who's an expert in the law. If you're a lawyer in Israel at this time, it's based upon the Mosaic law. So this is a guy who knows the Old Testament, the Old Testament laws. And he comes to Jesus and says, let me just ask you an easy question. How do I become part of God's family? And he says, love God, love your neighbor. Kind of basically, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, great answer. Just go and do that. Luke gives a little bit of uncovers a little bit. He says, trying to justify himself, he asks the question, who's my neighbor? Okay? So I want to give just two quick observations here. As we think about missions and maybe what is our role in mission, I want us to look at this man asking the question from a little bit more of a personal perspective. There's probably some things about him that are true about all people, all human beings. When he is given this fairly straightforward command, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor, Jesus is kind of like, great. Go do that. Go love God and love your neighbor. Easy peasy, you know. But the human response to that, what he does is he says, hold on here. I want to justify myself a little bit. I want to, you know, make myself feel a little bit better about me. There's something about that kind of makes me go, am I really loving my neighbor? Do I really love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? So, hey, you know, like, let me just ask this question. Who are you talking about? What does it mean to love my neighbor? because I'm trying to show you that, you know, I really am doing that. I'm loving my neighbor. You know, I want to, as I hear that, my first response is to say, you know, I'm okay. I'm doing all right. I'm loving my neighbor. And Jesus says, all right, let me tell you a story. All right, when we read the story, it's a story that we've read many times. Okay, we just read it. He says, there was a Jewish man traveling, was attacked, robbed, and it says he was left for dead. You know, basically what happened to him, they beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Okay? Basically what happened to that man is he met some people that said, you have no value to us. Whether you live or die, we're going to leave. We've done whatever we wanted. It's up to you. Whatever happens now, we don't care. Okay? We got what we wanted. Go in peace. We'll take care of ourselves. Whatever happens to you doesn't matter to us. You are no value to us. Two people come along. One is a priest. One is a Levite. These are like religious leaders, people like pastors, temple assistants, people who are doing a lot of good things. Jesus makes a point of saying they both saw him. They saw him. They saw somebody who was a fellow Jew. We don't know any more about that. Were they from the same town? Did they go to the same synagogue? Did they grow up in the same school? We don't know. But this is a fellow countryman. This is somebody who's in the in-group here. And they see him, and he actually makes a point of saying that the second guy actually walks over there and looks at him and keeps on going. It's kind of like he walked over and was kind of like, I don't know, like, I got a lot to do today. This is looking really bad. Should I do something about it? Gonna keep going. Okay? And then he talks about a Samaritan who comes and he says he has compassion. And he goes and he puts his compassion in action. He binds his wounds. He puts oil and wine on it. So he does something to clean this man's wounds and to ease the pain, the oil. He puts bandages around it. Does he have them with him? Probably not. He probably tears some of his own cloth, puts it on him, just thinking, this is going to heal. It's going to take some time to heal. So I'm going to put something here to make it hurt less, clean it, make sure it doesn't get any worse, and do it so that there'll be some healing. Puts him on his own donkey. Like, this is now the trip he's on is going to take him a little bit longer. He's not going to be able to go as fast. He's going to have to walk. Okay. He goes to an inn. It's not a hospital. It's not some place where I drop somebody off and they take care of him. It says he went to an inn and he took care of him. So he bought some food, made sure he got some food that night, made sure he was in a comfortable bed, gets up the next day and says, here's some extra money. Next time, when I come back through, if it's more, I'll take care of you. You take care of him now. Okay. So he has real compassion, and it really, it cost him something. It's an inconvenience for him. And then Jesus asks the question, who is the neighbor? When I say who was the one that loved his neighbor as himself? And the lawyer says, the man who showed him mercy. And Jesus says, correct. Again, go and do that. Go and love like that man. Okay? I want to just point out a few observations here. Okay, the first thing is that Jesus, like I said, this man tried to justify himself, and in this story, Jesus seems to be asking him, and he seems to be uncovering a few things as this man tries to justify himself and say, you know, I'm not doing that bad, okay. I want to point out when Jesus asks the question, who was the one who loved his neighbor? The lawyer, the expert in the law, he didn't even say the word Samaritan. Jesus never used the phrase, this man showed him mercy. He just said, this was a Samaritan and he loved his neighbor. He had compassion. We know, if you've grown up in a church, that Samaritans were despised. And this Jewish expert in law so despises Samaritans, he can't even say the word Samaritan. He doesn't even say the Samaritan in the story. He goes, the guy that showed him mercy. He cannot even say it. So we see one of the first things that Jesus is doing as this man encounters Jesus is Jesus uncovers prejudice. And if you and I get involved in mission, if we step into the work that God is doing, one of our first human reactions is going to be to try to, I'm not doing that bad. I'm doing okay. I don't want you to challenge me too closely here as I step into this work that you're doing. And he said, you know what? Let me just uncover a few things here in you. If we step into mission, Jesus is going to do something deep in us. And one of the things he might do is uncover prejudice. If you get involved in places where Jesus is working, you may encounter the fact that you don't like black people. That's something that came up in me as I stepped into this, as I stepped into different parts of my work. I was a missionary. I grew up in the Chicago area, and I lived in Europe for 20 years. And every time I went, I was in and out of Chicago, in and out of my community. I never was partnering with black churches. It was all churches that were like me. And gradually I began to sense God opening my heart and saying, how do you feel about black people? and it was a part of what God uncovered in me. You may sense God uncovering something the way you look at poor people or uneducated people or people who are different or people who have hurt your people in historical ways. Maybe Japanese, or maybe you're Chinese and you look at people from Hong Kong or vice versa. Or maybe you look at Americans who have treated people of your family, you know, who said terrible things to you. As you step into what God is doing, one of the things he might do is uncover ways that we view the world around us. And the cultural prejudices that come, it happens in every culture. There is nobody outside of this. This is a Jewish expert in the law. He has obeyed many laws. He's obeyed God's commands all over the place. And when he tries to justify himself, Jesus says, let me uncover this right here. How do you feel about Samaritans? Ooh, I can't even say that word. I don't even want to say the word Samaritan. Well, he was the one that loved his neighbor. How are you going to deal with that? Some of you know one of our, I think those of you who have been involved with us, you know, one of my coworkers is Tiffany. She does a lot of our training of volunteers, and she's engaged with anybody here who's worked with World Relief and Refuge Rochester. A couple of years ago, Tiffany and two of other our partners, our coworkers, went with another one of our partner organizations to Lebanon in order to see the refugee crisis up close. They engaged with the Syrian refugee crisis for about 10 days. And when they got back, they talked in several different locations about a young man they met who was Lebanese, who, when they were there, they learned that the country of Syria, this is bordering country of Lebanon, actually occupied the country of Lebanon for 28 years. The occupation ended in 2005. And they met a young man who hated Syrians growing up because his father had been imprisoned and tortured by the Syrian regime that was occupying their country. And he grew up with a deep, deep hatred for Syrians. And as Syrians fled the civil war in the 2010s, we all remember that, like all the hundreds of thousands of Syrians, many that came to Europe and other parts of the world. Hundreds of thousands of them ended up in Lebanon. And some of his friends were a part of a church there that began to really care for Syrians. And God began to do a softening work in his heart as he saw his Lebanese friends caring for Syrians. And now he's deeply involved God brought him to his kingdom. God brought him to his family. gave him eternal life. And part of what how he did that was to say, you hate Syrians. And I'm going to put a whole bunch of them right on your front porch and all in your neighborhood. And I'm going to ask you to love your neighbor as yourself. And God dealt with that whole area of his life. And if you and I step into what God is doing, we will encounter Jesus. And one of the things he might do is uncover areas of our life that we've embraced from our culture that are truly prejudiced and keep us from loving our neighbors ourselves, no matter how good we feel about ourselves. It's a part of it. Okay? I've seen this recently in how we as a culture even respond to refugees in the work I do. When it comes to people from Afghanistan, part of our response as an American culture, as I say this as somebody who grew up in the American culture, they've done something for us, so we should do something for them. But at the same time, there are, like I just talked about, Syrians or people fleeing war in Myanmar. There are Rohingya Muslims. There are people fleeing genocide right now in the Congo. And it doesn't pull at our heart as deeply as people who have helped us. And we're a little more careful. When there's people in Europe, those of us of European descent, like we're seeing right now in Ukraine, our response of compassion is much stronger than when we read about things happening in Yemen or in China or other places. That I see that our compassion is very often determined by who is like me. And I sense God saying, I'm going to uncover something here. And you may feel like you're doing okay, but I'm going to keep uncovering things. You know, Pastor Young just led us in a time of like repentance. If we get involved in mission, if God brings us into it, we are going to be seeing parts of ourselves that he's going to say, great job, but let me just keep uncovering things here. How do you feel about Samaritans? How do you feel about these people that maybe you can't even say their name when you started? If we get involved in mission, God will uncover things. So, what's the second challenge? There's another challenge. The first thing Jesus does is he says, you want to justify yourself. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to ask you a question. How do you feel about Samaritans? Okay. But then it also feels to me that he asks a question, how do you feel about disruptions? How do you feel about inconveniences? What does it mean for you to self-sacrifice? You know, he looks at the two leaders, and like I said, these are people, they see him. They are going about probably doing a lot of good things that day. The priest is probably saying, I got to go lead a worship service. I've got to go lead a Bible study or the study of the Torah. Neither one of them probably woke up in the morning and said, I have nothing on my calendar today. I could just do anything. I'm going to walk out and whoever I meet, I've just got all the time I need today to care for them. They were doing good things. And Jesus didn't condemn them for the good things they were doing. All he was asking is, who loved their neighbor? And the Samaritan that he brings in, these two men who see them, one of the first things they could have been saying was, I've just got a lot to do today. This is kind of an interruption. I wish I could help this guy, but I just don't have the space today to do anything about it. They may also have looked at it and said, especially the man I walked over and looked at it, this situation is hopeless. Like, there's just, I could spend the rest of my day getting involved in this, and this guy's going to die. Like, it's so far gone, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, I've, over the last few years, become very good friends with a family from Syria, and I was just stopped by on my way home from work on Friday and just had lunch with them. Somehow they always have food every time I stop by there. And so we had a little meal together. And their lives are just hardly any better. I've been friends with them for probably 5-6 years. And the long-term health consequences from things they've been through, their grandchildren that live in California and Holland, it just can't do anything about it. Their friends that are in Syria are still there. There are other friends that are in refugee camps along the way. Their situation is just no better. And I felt God at times saying, are you wanting to be their friend so you can solve it? Or are you willing just to love your neighbor? Are you willing to say, I'll just keep being your friend, even if we cannot solve what is happening here. And so God is going to put us in places in where he may ask you, how do you feel about this group of people over here? Or are you willing to be disrupted? Are you willing to be inconvenienced in order? Pastor was just praying for Ethan, and one of the things he said is that he left the country he's from. He went to Cambodia, you know, took his wife, and he inconvenienced himself. But I wanted to kind of just look around. Like we also read, I just want to look real quick at a passage we often talk about when it comes to working with refugees and immigrants. That passage we read in Matthew, it's another passage that we know a lot of. I just want to read a little bit before then. Jesus is talking about the end of all times. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, his angels with him, he will sit on his throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. Place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. He will say to those on his right, come, those of you who are blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he gives this list of things that people did. I was hungry, and you gave me food. So there's hungry people. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. There's thirsty people. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then they asked the question, when did we do these things? And he says, when you did this, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. And one of the things that has always kind of challenged me is that all of the people that Jesus talks about are people that I don't encounter in my... As I go about my day, people who are hungry and thirsty, I don't usually run into them. And people who are sick in a hospital, who need to be cared for, we even as a culture, we say, in order to care for them and so that nobody else gets sick from them, we're going to put them over in this facility where they won't spread their disease or they can get better care. It's a good thing to do that, but it takes them out of my everyday rhythm. Somebody who's in prison is clearly, as I go from my shopping for groceries to stop by over here, I don't in between there just naturally stop by a prison and check in on somebody I know who's in prison. If I meet a stranger, somebody from a place that I can't understand them or I don't know what it'll be like. It's not just a natural thing that happened. Jesus basically says, all the people that will interrupt you, that are kind of slightly an inconvenience, they don't have what they need, you've got to do something for them. That's where you're going to find me. And when you do it for them, you'll do it for me. And so when we ask, if God calls us to mission, what does it mean for me? I want us to think about, we will encounter Jesus in a way that will be probably, and it will definitely be a deeply transformative part of what God's going to do in our hearts and lives. He's going to uncover things. He's going to challenge things. And our first response, it is everyone's response to try to, we will face the fact that we want to justify ourselves. We want to not feel like we're not reaching the bar that He's set above us. But this is where we need Jesus. You know, if I ask myself the question, like, here I am with refugees every day. It's part of what I do. Do I love my neighbor as myself? If I'm really honest, I can't say that I am great at this. There's still quite a bit in there that God's got to just kind of go, what about this over here? How do you really feel about people who maybe smell bad? Or how do you feel going into a home where you just cannot talk to anybody? How do you feel about being that useless? Or how do you feel about, you got to get up on this weekend and maybe it's not something that you were planning on, but are you going to go over there and help them get their heat going again? Are you going to allow me to inconvenience you? I keep sensing Him uncovering things. But one of the things that when we encounter Jesus, what He wants to do in us is show us, I'm really the only one who loved my neighbor as myself. He wants us to look at Him and kind of go, you know, there's no way I love these people that you're bringing into my life the way you love me. You died for me. You left heaven. You inconvenienced yourself like nobody else. And if it wasn't for you, anything I'm doing right now, that isn't going to make any difference. In the reality that I still need you to uncover this. And someday, He's going to uncover everything, and we're going to go where He's at, and we're going to be with Him where He's at, and He's not going to have to uncover anymore because we're going to be like Him as He is. Amen? But for now, if we step into mission, He's going to uncover something. He's going to ask, how do you feel about Samaritans? How do you feel about changing your schedule? And He's going to say, keep looking at me. I'm the one that changed my schedule. I'm the one that loved people that didn't love me. And He's going to keep calling us to people that are poor, that are strangers, that are outside of what we normally would engage with. And He says, if you allow me to interrupt your life, to uncover whatever prejudice is there, you will see what more I'm going to do in you, and you will encounter me, and you will do something for me, and you will love me more because you'll see that I've done this for you. So I want to invite you to, over this month, as you have different people come in, what is God calling you to? This is something that Pastor Young started by saying, the church is a hospital for people. You know, I heard somebody say recently, the church is one of the only organizations in the world that has been founded and exists for those who are outside of it. It's a part of what Jesus has come for, and He modeled it for us. He left His home. He will ask us to do this, and then He will say to us someday, when you did this for this person over here, you did it for me. And that will be a challenging thing. It will make you feel like I need to justify myself. But it will be a part of what God does to transform you and to keep uncovering what is it that He wants to change. So I pray for you. I pray that God will guide you and you'll continue to take those steps that you've been doing with us, but even with other organizations. Thank you very much.